Hi, I'm Piper.
And I'm Erin.
Welcome to Off the Tracks podcast, where we explore what it means to do law differently. Today's episode is in partnership with Lawyers in House. Lawyers in House is comprised of a team of experienced former in-house counsel who are ready to hit the ground running to deliver world-class legal support that takes work off your plate and makes life easier along the way. Whether you're a solopreneur or a Fortune 500 company or fall anywhere in between, Lawyers in House will meet and exceed your business's needs.
Jacqueline Leung is Senior Director Legal at Aritzia, where she leads the employment law team supporting all workplace and immigration matters across Canada, the U.S., and abroad. She provides strategic guidance for Aritzia's leadership team and internal departments as Aritzia expands into new markets and grows its e-commerce business. Jacqueline previously practiced at Ferris LLP in downtown Vancouver as part of their labor and employment and litigation groups, and in-house at TELUS as part of their litigation team. So we are so excited to learn a bit more about Jacqueline's varied career and especially her work in-house. So thanks for joining us.
So Jacqueline, we are so excited to have you here today. We always like to start kind of hearing from each of our guests in their own words, a little bit about how your career has evolved over time.
Right. So I started off in, let me go back. In terms of my working life and the careers that have kind of morphed over time, I originally started off working in the federal government in a few different capacities. So there was, I don't even know if these exist anymore, but they're called the Service Canada Centers for Youth. And so they were supporting youth in communities. I worked in the Burnaby, BC location. I worked in the Richmond, BC location, supporting youth find jobs, helping also employers post jobs and connect them to youth. I also, as part of that job, assisted with writing kind of local newspaper articles to kind of get the word out about the centers, but also advise youth about their job entitlements. And then I worked as a program officer for Service Canada, administering those kinds of programs and providing funding for those programs, and also external jobs that employers in the community needed assistance with funding. So managing that budget, doing site visits to ensure compliance, meeting with youth to see whether it was a valuable work experience. And I did some of that work as well, part-time in law school. And then ultimately in law school, I did a summer articling position with the Department of Justice, the Public Prosecution Service of Canada. And I worked at the courthouse in the downtown east side in Vancouver, prosecuting mainly drug-related offenses. And I went into that thinking I would be a criminal lawyer, but I ended up coming out of that deciding, while I enjoyed litigation, I did not enjoy criminal law. And I really appreciated those that did very well in that world, because it's a tough job, and it's you have to think on your feet so well and so quickly. But I pivoted into general civil litigation practice with Ferris in downtown Vancouver, and kind of was doing a mix of civil commercial litigation as well as labor and employment law, which I really did enjoy. So I enjoyed my litigation work a lot. And after several years there, you know, enjoying the substantive work I did, but not really enjoying so much the business of law that is commonly involved in a private firm, I had an opportunity to go in-house and doing pretty much the mix I was doing at the private firm. So I ended up at TELUS in-house doing a mix of litigation and employment law. And I really enjoyed that mix, doing that in-house, still being able to run my own files, but working directly with the business, not only on those kind of files, but you know, developing processes and policies in the company, manage day-to-day employment matters. And then ultimately that in-house role led me to Aritzia, where I now practice employment law and some immigration law, in that there are some relocations that are happening among our employees in the organization. And I've been there for about 2.5 years now, really enjoying leading that team and working on a lot of the infrastructure build at the organization.
Thank you for taking us through that. It's always so neat to see how someone's experiences keep building on each other and kind of see how you got there, because I feel like, I don't know, Aritzia in-house legal counsel is like such a cool in-house job to have. And it's so interesting to see all the twists and turns, I guess, that your career has taken over the years. But to go back sort of to the beginning, what led you to want to go to law school in the first place?
So I always had a thought kind of around starting in high school times that law school kind of would be suited to my personality or vice versa. I'd be suited to law school, and that that kind of work and sort of studiousness, if that's the correct term, to that it entailed to excel in law school. Like, I was definitely a very hardworking student in high school. I did take some law courses in high school that I really enjoyed, and I always had in the back of my mind that was a path that I likely would take. When I went into undergrad, I majored in history and continued to take courses that touched on law. So, touched on very important cases that court cases that, shaped, law as we know it, and shaped kind of social values and norms and that, we've seen evolve over the decades. And so it really kept my interest in law. I will say even my time at, those Service Canada roles, because they did involve a level of compliance and advising people on their entitlements and making sure employers were aware of those entitlements too. I've just always had an element of my work and interest that touched on law. And so, following undergrad, that's where naturally I felt pulled to. And ultimately, yeah, I did find that my personality and sort of my skills did well in that kind of environment.
Amazing. So, Jacqueline, something that I think about when I think about your role, and I remember being in law school and having in-house counsel panel talks, and we see people consistently moving to in-house roles, and objectively, and I wish I could think of a better term, but the two terms that come to mind when I think of your job, and feel free to laugh, okay? But when I think of, oh my gosh, Jacqueline is legal counsel at Aritzia, senior legal counsel at Aritzia, I think, oh, that's like so glamorous. That's such like a sexy job, like Aritzia. Like, I just want to like live in an Aritzia. And so obviously that's not the case. It took so much work to get here, and your job does not involve being in an Aritzia all day, which to me would sound very ideal, but I understand is not the job. And I guess my point is, for someone who's thinking, wow, like I want to work for such a dynamic company later on in my legal career, I want to help a company that's in growth mode, what advice would you give to someone who hopes to follow a similar path? Understanding that you probably in law school didn't think, I'll be counsel at Aritzia one day, and that there are many connections and stops along the way, but that helped you get here. And so what advice would you give to someone who's hoping to land in a similar fashion?
Yeah. So as you heard, my career has gone from various different employers and different capacities. But I think one thing that helped me to Aritzia and to the role I find myself in now, which is more in a leadership position and working directly with senior leaders in the company and executives, is starting. I really felt that starting in private practice assisted me. Now, it may not be for everyone, but it definitely assisted me to sharpen my legal skills and expertise. So, doing the legal research, reviewing the relevant statutes, drafting the submissions, drafting the claims, the defenses, showing up to hearings, courts, mediation, settlement conferences, talking to opposing counsel, negotiating, like though that hands-on experience has been so valuable in an in-house environment. Because when I did go to TELUS, there was a fair bit I continued to have direct conduct of, so I still was able to flex those direct advocacy skills. But even when, you know, we were relying on external counsel or we were advising the business on whether this matter may be litigated, what are the legal risks, what would that entail, what are the business impacts as a result of that, like understanding what it would entail from a litigation standpoint, understanding the legal arguments, having tested some of those legal arguments as to the likelihood of success, like being able to provide that value add as being a practitioner back in the day has been super valuable in-house and in particular at Aritzia. I will say being at Aritzia specifically, what that is in growth mode and what has become very important and time consuming in my work is this concept of infrastructure build for where we're at in the company. And so when I was at TELUS, it's a lot of the infrastructure processes, policies, like frameworks, those had already been built out when I kind of showed up there. There were opportunities to build on some of that, improve on that, build frameworks and policies for when, you know, laws were created or amended, et cetera. But having had that experience at a large organization that had all of that in place and then going to a company that's more in growth mode, that also was super valuable. So another kind of value add that I had have at Aritzia is that I have experience working with that kind of infrastructure, seeing what's already worked, what doesn't work, and be able to take those lessons and apply them at Aritzia as we build out into the US markets and we build our e-commerce business and presence.
I do love to notice now on my TikTok, a lot more of the American influencers are posting about Aritzia. So you can definitely tell you guys are in growth mode because I feel like Aritzia was such a like coveted like Canadian brand. And now it's like Aritzia and Lululemon is all over the American TikTokers. I spend way too much time on TikTok for the record. Like that is my 2023 goal is to limit that a bit. But anyways, all I can say is TikTok, goal to understand Aritzia's TikTok. On
there. You need to teach me a TikTok.
I don't make them. I just consume them.
Okay.
Definitely not a content creator. So we would love to know what aspect of your role at Aritzia is leadership and strategic planning, and if it's all just legal or if you get a mix of that sort of strategic planning leadership role in your position.
Yeah, so I would say a big proportion of what I do is more business strategy oriented. Like first internal partners or clients will come to legal because, you know, they appreciate there are legal compliance issues. It's usually that's kind of what triggers the conversation where legal gets involved. But as we dive into the issues, especially if it's kind of like bigger initiative or bigger build out, that legal needs to fully understand what the business is trying to achieve in order to give our recommendations. And we often do work with the business to support them in achieving those goals. So, you know, we can advise them that, you know, there's like XYZ requirements they need to meet in order to do, you know, what they want to do. But here are some other options. Can we frame things differently and still meet the business goals? You know, is there a certain other timeline that we could work with that will meet our compliance obligations, but still meet the business goals? And then from a leadership standpoint, you know, we are building out our legal team as well. Like when I joined just over 2 years ago, you know, I was the third lawyer added, and I think we're now hiring for our sixth lawyer, or we're at six lawyers now. So, you know, in a span of a short span of time, our team has grown exponentially. And from a leadership standpoint, you know, I've been able to build out a team, manage a team that specializes in areas that are of high value to the business, and continue to support our growth, especially into the US, and making sure we're compliant in all the new jurisdictions that we have employees present in.
That's so interesting, Jacqueline. So what I'm really getting from what you've said is that obviously, like, you've had these two very different in-house roles. You worked at TELUS, very like established, already, you know, built up company. And Aritzia, to the outside viewer, especially in someone in my and Aaron's age demographic, is this really big established company. I currently have about 9 open Aritzia tabs on my computer in a different browser, just waiting for me to either close them or make an order. But so to the outside eye, it's like this really, you know, prominent brand that we all know and shop at. But what we're hearing from you is that these are very different experiences, like coming in and building something from the ground up, really behind the scenes that a lot of people wouldn't otherwise know about who are outside the company. And so in your experience, what have been some of the biggest differences between your work at both TELUS and Aritzia?
Yeah. And I just want to, I just to clarify something you said. So I wouldn't say at Aritzia we're building from the ground up. We obviously we're a company that was established in the early 80s. So there obviously a lot of compliance. There's a lot of compliance structure that's already there, but it's really more about the expansion and scalability. You know, when I started at Aritzia, I think we were like just over 4,000 employees. We're at about 10,000 employees now. So in this short span of time, we've grown. I mentioned that our legal team growing exponentially. Well, because we have to support the business that's also grown, and the workforce that's already grown, that's also grown exponentially. And so it's building what do you want to call it, kind of like more scalable infrastructure, if you will, because of all the different markets that we are in. One difference one big difference between my time in-house at TELUS and Aritzia is that TELUS is in Canada. At least the departments that I was supporting were in Canada, and they're federally regulated organizations. So primarily, I was dealing with the Canada Labor Code. On the retail side, there were provincially regulated employees as well, but by and large, I was dealing with federally regulated employees, and then in Canada and at Aritzia, in terms of my employment work, I'm dealing with Canada, all the provinces, and then every new state that we open a store in or have employees in. So that has necessitated more scalable infrastructure.
Yeah, for sure. And I do some employment law in just Ontario, and that is just hard enough to keep on top of, let alone all of the provinces and territories and US states. So I can only imagine the skill set that takes to sort of keep track of everything and make sure that, you know, everything is on board across the business. So kudos to you for that.
Well, we have a great team that's doing, you know, the whole legal team, but definitely on the employment and immigration side. In addition to myself, I have a few team members that really excel in their areas. And we're super lucky to have them in the business.
And so, Jacqueline, that was kind of my question. I just wanted to pop in with this for a second. So you focus on like employment and immigration, and the other lawyers in your team of approximately 6. Does each lawyer have a focus, or are you all working on like different things or similar things?
We would all be working on different practice areas. So, I mean, similar to a law firm, if you will, like, you know, we have lawyers that specialize in different practice areas. And so, you know, I have my commercial legal counterparts that will be assisting on business vendor contracts, procurement contracts, et cetera, and consumer related issues. And then I have an IP counterpart, so someone who specializes in intellectual property law. And we're looking for a privacy lawyer, so someone who will be specializing in privacy law. And we have paralegals who specialize in certain these areas as well, and some that are more generalists that are able to assist in the different practice areas. And we do get opportunities to collaborate with one another. Recently, I've been collaborating a lot with my colleague who specializes in IP, and then definitely on the commercial side. There is overlap in terms of the matters that we handle. So we do have an opportunity to collaborate fairly frequently.
That is really cool, because sometimes it's hard to imagine what, like, general counsel or working in-house is just such a broad term. And so it's really hard to know exactly what happens. And it's really interesting to hear that there is sort of a breakdown between different practice areas. So it's not just your, you know, just trying to juggle everything. You are kind of niching down within even being an in-house counsel, which is really cool to hear.
Yeah, and I would say I don't know if all in-house environments operate the same way as, you know, Aritzia does, or the way I experienced it at TELUS, where lawyers did have their expertise and their respective practice areas. I do know there are in-house roles that are more generalist in nature, and they like to keep it that way, you know, keep the in-house team small and everyone gets to try different things. And some people really enjoy that. I've enjoyed being able to really develop my expertise and become a leader in my respective practice areas.
So what would you say is your favorite thing about working in-house? And what do you miss, if anything, about private practice?
I think my favorite thing about working in-house, and I must have told other people this, because it does come up every now and then, people asking me why pivot in-house, why stay in-house, is really being ingrained in the business. Like, I really do feel like my opinion directly and recommendations directly impact on, you know, corporate strategy, corporate objectives. I get to imprint on, you know, infrastructure build, policies, frameworks, you know, the direction of the company, you know, maybe in a small part, you know, our legal team gets to imprint on that. And so I really appreciated the ability to do that and see the direct sort of effect, the cause and effect of my recommendations and work having an impact on the company. I also appreciated the leadership sort of and professional career development opportunities in-house that I, at least from my experience, I didn't really see clear pathways to that other than just becoming partner at a private firm. You know, that there wasn't, you know, I know maybe some firms have create more of those layers to have people strive to develop themselves, but I didn't see that, at least in my experience. And so in my in-house experience, I've been able to find a lot of success in kind of moving up the ladder and getting leadership opportunities where I now have a team and I get to be a people leader and work with and support wonderful team members and see and support their own growth. So I don't know if I would have been able to do that in the same way in private practice. I will say one thing I miss about private practice, even though there are still some opportunities to do that in-house, is you know, going into court, going doing those mediations and settlement conferences and applications, and kind of the day-to-day advocacy where you're negotiating with opposing counsel and drafting the legal arguments and winning, you know, that satisfaction of winning. Like you still have that in-house, but when you're the one who's actually having to, you know, speak to the master or the judge, there's a lot of satisfaction you get in the work product and when you are successful. So I do miss doing that on a day-to-day basis, but overall I've been so happy with the in-house move. It's just been so better suited for my style of work and my my professional development.
So Jacqueline, you just touched a little bit on like some daily wins, for example, in private practice, like going to court and getting that, like for lack of a better word, instant gratification, like that satisfaction of a job well done in court. And so something that Erin and I always like to touch on is like setbacks and perceived failures, because I think it's so important to remember someone could be listening to this right now and like be at a stage in their career where they're not feeling like they're living the career that they've wanted to yet. And so what is one of the most significant setbacks that you faced in your career, and what did you learn from it at the time?
Yeah, so I do remember the feeling when, you know, when you go into private practice and you know, you're even when you're articling, although it doesn't count as much, but you do have the billable target kind of looming over your head, and you are constantly aware of whether you're meeting it or you're not meeting it. And, you know, after a few years at the private firm I was working for, I was approached and it was flagged, you know, I wasn't meeting my billable targets, and this was an issue, and it really deflated me. And I was really frustrated and disappointed in myself that, you know, why wasn't I able to motivate myself enough for, I felt I was working very hard and yet I'm not meeting these billable targets. And rather that, like what I learned from that, was, why was I kind of feeling like I needed to kill myself to get these, you know, through the hours that it would require to be in office to meet those billable targets? Like I wasn't motivated enough to do that because that wasn't the style of work ultimately I wanted to do. I knew that I enjoyed my substantive legal work. I knew I really enjoyed, in particular, employment law work that I was doing, but I didn't really enjoy kind of, and I think I mentioned this earlier, you know, the business of law, which included the of private practice, which included those billable targets, which, you know, that system still exists today, of course. And so what I learned from that disappointment was that this was not the way in which I wanted to practice law. And I found an in-house opportunity at TELUS, which, as I mentioned earlier, you know, really fit like what I was doing, which was litigation and employment law. And so I think some of it was luck that I just, you know, timing, there was a role available at TELUS, and I fit in so easily with the team there. I still keep in touch with a lot of my former colleagues there. But that setback, dealing with the failure and billable targets, really made me think about my career in a different way and the direction I wanted to move in. And it ultimately was benefited me to have gone through that.
Yeah, I think that's such an important lesson to take away from that. It's not that, you know, you didn't like the work. It's not that you didn't do good work. It's just that that system and that model didn't work for you. I don't know who it works for. Still trying to figure that out. But I don't know who can get jazzed up in the morning to be like, oh yeah, I gotta beat my billable target for the day. Because that gives me true anxiety. I don't know how people live like that. So that's such a positive way to look at that and just say, you know, okay, so this system isn't working for me. How can I use my skills and do something different? And so it's really cool to see that you've been able to do that. But as you navigate your career, how do you take care of your mental health?
Yeah, so I do think I need to be more proactive about carving out time for myself and the things that I enjoy in life. Because I mean, I don't know if you guys are like this, but you know, I do work hard. I've always had that work ethic. And so throughout life, and not only as a lawyer, I've constantly had to remind myself I need to take time out to, you know, do things that I enjoy outside of the office. And so these days, as I mentioned earlier, like it's a lot of it centers around my family and being a mother of two. And I have a newly 1 year old at home. And so making sure, you know, when I'm checking out, not only out of physically out of the office, but mentally out of the office when I'm with them. You know, I get to talk to them about their days. I walk my older son to daycare every day, pretty much. And it's just a fun time for us to, catch up's not the right word because we're talking every day, but just, you know, hear the things that are going through his head and all the joy he finds in his day and what he looks forward to, you know, connecting with my husband and, you know, we do try to have family dinners every night together and, you know, talk about our day. And then on the weekends we have activities with the kids and getting to see kind of the joy that they have in seeing their friends, going to play sports, going to playgrounds. That gives me a lot that assists with me finding the right balance of work and life, but it also assists with, you know, making sure that I'm present for them and assists with my mental health.
That's so special, Jacqueline. And I'm sure that your five-year-old has a lot of fun and interesting thoughts that infuse a lot of joy into your life. And I feel like we could all learn a lot from like the pure joy and like curiosity that like kindergartners have. I feel like it would just be so fun to just like spend a day just like surrounded by that like curiosity and like pure joy, because sometimes I think that that's easy to like lose sight of.
Definitely. Yeah, they do make me refocus sometimes on those important parts of life. And one other thing I'll add about, you know, how do I kind of maintain mental health or mental well-being is I do make it a point to when I'm feeling definitely when I'm feeling especially overwhelmed, but I do try to kind of have like regular sort of check-ins with kind of like mental health professionals, counselors. And I'm pretty open about that with others that I do this because I really don't think there should be, and I don't want there to be stigma around talking to someone about these issues, or when, again, when they're feeling especially overwhelmed about an issue or because they're working so hard at work, and or just to have those check-ins here and there. Even when things are feeling right, just having a check-in I find has been helpful for me to put things into perspective and to make sure that I'm kind of just on track to the personal goals that I've made for myself outside of work.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Jacqueline. That's something that Erin and I love to talk about on the podcast. And in the episode notes for every episode of Off the Tracks, if anyone is looking, we link to access the different members assistance programs in your region. So every jurisdiction in Canada, every law society has free therapy for all lawyers, licensing candidates, paralegals, their dependents, and so on and so forth. So if anytime anybody needs to access that and doesn't have a private provider already assisting them, that's a really great option. And it's something that I've accessed before and we definitely recommend. So thank you. So Jacqueline, a way that we love to end the podcast is by always asking the same question, which is, what is something new that you've learned recently?
Yeah, so I am trying to read books more. There was a time in my life I read books voraciously, and I blame it on the smartphone when that entered in my life. I read a lot, but it ends up being reading on the smartphone. And so, what has led me to to answer your question is I started reading a book called The Secrets of Happy Families, and it's something my husband and I actually have been reading, and then we read chapters, and then we like reconnect. On okay, when you're done that chapter, let's reconnect on it. And what did we learn? And how can we apply that to our family? And what I was finding, what I really enjoyed about that book is that there were all these principles and practices that the author was deriving from like well-known business people and economics, you know, professors, etc. And executives at large organizations, of how to negotiate, how to keep people on task, how to project manage, and that in applying that to the family life. And not to say, you know, obviously there's a lot of nuances and sort of maybe more emotions that bubble up in families, but a lot of those strategies actually started working in home life too. And so we've been starting to do that with our family here and there where it makes sense, depending on where they're at developmentally. And things have been working and clicking. And even between my husband and myself, things have been working and clicking. And so not that I want to treat my family as a business, because it obviously is not. I'm not paid for the work that I do at home. But it's more like the effort and mindfulness that I put into my career, into my work, that others have put into their careers, their education, and their work, diverting some of that thinking, that logic, that time into my family, because it's just as important. I shouldn't say just as, it's more important than my day job. It's a job that I'm going to have for the rest of my life. And so I've been more conscious about putting that effort in to my home life and applying some of the education I have in making things work at home. And so that's something I've learned just starting from this book, but it's just kind of changed my way of thinking about my home life.
Both of us. We both pressed unpause. We were like, oh my gosh, wow.
Wow.
Love that. That is amazing.
Why does that resonate with you guys? Or
oh yeah.
I just think that it's so smart, and I think what I love about this book, I don't know, I'm not familiar with the book, I'm gonna go look it up now, The Secrets of Happy.
Yes, same.
But what I think is I really believe in, and we can never always be successful at this, but I really believe in like proactive approaches to problem solving. So when you are like putting in the work to see how can we become how can we maintain the longevity of this family unit in a way that's like healthy and cohesive and allows everyone room for their individual growth and collective growth. I think that that's incredible, because if we all did that more individually and as like teammates, partners in business, partners in life, families, I think the world would just be a much better, happier place. And so I love hearing about things like this.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. I just feel like I just had like a light bulb moment. Like just, I think you said like the way that we're mindful in work, like we need to be mindful in life. And I was just, it literally was like a light bulb just went off in my head. And I'm just like, wow, that's the missing piece. Like I'm so intentional and mindful about my work. And then I'm like, okay, I did that. Now I'm going to sit on the couch and it's 5 PM. And then all of a sudden it's midnight. And I don't know if it's 5 PM always, but you know, like you sit down and the night just slips away. And then the weekend just slips away. And just that, the framing of that to just be like, okay, let's be mindful about our time outside of work too. So yeah, I just really enjoyed it.
Thanks. And I think, you know, we take our personal lives, our family lives for granted in a way that we don't with our work, right? Like we feel we got to work at it. We got to earn this, what we're doing, whether it's a promotion, pay, our place in the company to feel valued. And sometimes, not everyone, I suppose, feel like this, but I think a lot of people probably take their home lives for granted in a way that, you know, it'll sort itself out. It'll work itself out. I can put in X amount of effort, it'll sort itself out. But it's not always the case. And it could run more smoothly and more healthily if we are more mindful about it and we do put in that care.
Yeah, absolutely. Jacqueline, you have given us so many incredible nuggets of wisdom. Thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing about your experiences in-house and outside of work and just sort of your journey to where you are today. We are so excited to watch your continued growth and follow along with your career. We so appreciate you sharing your stories, and thank you again for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed talking to you guys too.
Thank you again to our partner, Lawyers in House, a law firm composed of former in-house counsel. To learn more, visit lawyersinhouse.com to see how they can provide insightful, pragmatic, and solutions-focused legal services to you and your legal department.